And this is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and myself, Mimi Rosenberg.
Rally against Republican health care plans that go straight for the jugular and would leave us hemorrhaging and fight like hell for Medicare for all. Whether the Republicans pass a version of Trump Care or work to sabotage Obamacare, one thing is perfectly clear, that health care should be a universal right, whether called single payer or Medicare for all, and that until we implement such a system, our lives are in jeopardy. So Building Bridges is broadcasting an emergency health care rally, which was held in New York City recently, sponsored by Metro New York Health Care for All and Local 1199. To oppose bills in Congress that would gut the Affordable Care Act, decimate Medicaid, place Medicare's finances in jeopardy and family planning funding, and leave many millions uninsured. Listen as we mobilize for Medicare for all. Under a single-payer system, all residents of the U.S. would be covered for all medically necessary services. The program will be funded by the savings obtained from replacing today's inefficient, profit-oriented, multiple insurance payers with a single streamlined nonprofit public payer, and by modest new taxes based upon ability to pay. Now let's attend our virtual rally, and together we'll fight for the Medicare for All Act, H.R. 676, which would establish an American single-payer health insurance system.
Congress! When health care is under attack, what do we do? When health care is under attack, what do we do? Welcome everybody to our New York City emergency vigil to save our health care. So we're here today. We're one of many vigils across the country. The people in Washington, D.C. formed a human chain surrounding the Capitol building. And also, activists from 20 states blockaded several senators' offices in Capitol Hill and were arrested for civil disobedience. So we stand here today in solidarity with them because Congress is close to taking our health care away. And the fight is not yet over. And that's why people are joining together all across our country to save our health care. I'm pleased to introduce our first speaker, the public advocate of New York City, Letitia James.
Mitch McConnell and his buddies will be retreating to their boardrooms, and they probably will be redrafting a bill that will be more damaging than before. And it's likely that they will try to appease more Republicans. It's hard to imagine something worse than 22 to 23 million Americans losing health care. It's hard to imagine a plan that takes away rights for human trafficking victims and asylum refugees and immigrants, that defunds Planned Parenthood, that takes away access to maternity care and cancer screening and domestic violence counseling and contraception. It's hard to imagine that women will lose coverage and that millions of children, their Medicaid will be gutted. But it's possible, my friends, because this is not a health care bill. This is a tax cut bill for the rich. And it will be a disaster for New York and to our economy. But there's action that we can take by continuing to make your voices heard. It's not a partisan issue. Lifetime caps will kill people, and it will kill individuals with pre-existing conditions. We've got to kill this bill before it kills us!
Kill the bill! Kill the bill! Kill the bill!
Thank you, Public Advocate James. I neglected to introduce myself at the beginning, so I'll do it now. My name is Mark Hannay. I'm director of Metro New York Healthcare for All. We're a citywide coalition. And I want to give a shout out to the woman who organized this event, Lily Carinos with 1199. United Healthcare Workers East.
1199 in the house today?
Yeah.
Are the hawker workers in the house today?
Yeah. I'd like to invite up Elizabeth Benjamin, who's Vice President for Healthcare Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York.
I want to start with a story. So I work at the Community Service Society of New York. We're a founding member of Healthcare for All New York. I want to start by talking about the story of someone I enrolled into the coverage through the Affordable Care Act. She was a woman who came to me who was 57 years old. She had worked all her life in a department store, Saks Fifth Avenue, every day on her feet helping people. Her knee went out, and she got laid off because she couldn't work. She comes to me, she has no health care, she needs knee surgery. I was able to sign her up for Medicaid. The next year, she got a surgery, her knee was fixed. The next year, she came to me, and I was able to sign her up for the Essential Plan for $20 a month. And she now works in a restaurant as a restaurant worker, and she is so thrilled and so grateful to healthcare that saved her knee and made her able to work again. That's what this Affordable Care Act offers New Yorkers. And how many New Yorkers might lose coverage if the Senate bill goes through? 2.7 million New Yorkers might lose their coverage. Shame, 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 shame. And before we had the Affordable Care Act, there was only 19,000 people, we have 19 million people in New York, who were able to go out on the market and buy health insurance. Why so few? Well, health coverage in New York costs $1,500 a month. No one could afford it unless they were really sick or really were rich. Now, premiums are down to $500 a month. That's well over 50% decrease. So don't listen to their lies about premiums going up. They're just lying to us when they try to convince us that premiums went up. They went down in New York. The other thing that they're trying to do is take away our Medicaid. Who's covered by Medicaid? One out of every two births in New York is covered by Medicaid. Who's covered by Medicaid? People with disabilities. How many people who are older or seniors are covered by Medicaid in New York?
I think like
1 in 3. 1 in 3, right. 40% of our seniors are covered by Medicaid. We cannot. 70% of people in nursing homes. Thank you. Medicaid is vital to us. New York has done the right thing and expanded our Medicaid program. So, it's a health care emergency. Put out that fire. Douse the Senate.
Our next speaker is Dr. Steve Auerbach. He's a physician here in New York City, a pediatrician, and he's a board member from Physicians for a National Health Program.
We have health workers of all kinds in the house. We have patients in the house. Do you care about the health of your families? Do you care about the health of your friends? I am here in part representing Physicians for a National Health Program, New York Metro Chapter. We're the folks that advocate for real universal access to health care, starting with a single-payer universal public health insurance. We advocate for this, whether it's the New York Health Act in Albany, which has passed the Assembly 3 times and is 1 vote shy in the Senate, just waiting to get to Cuomo's desk. We advocate for H.R. 676, the bill in the House, which now has a majority of the Democrats signed up for it. Woo-hoo! We have the Sanders bill, which is going to be coming out shortly for single-payer in the Senate. And we know that Senator Elizabeth Warren has now come on board officially. Woo-hoo! And she's endorsed the idea that Democrats need to run on single-payer going forward. We are also in solidarity against any cuts to the existing public health insurance.
That's right. That's right.
We are in solidarity against taking away existing health care benefits from anybody in America. We are against all attempted cuts to Medicaid or Medicare. We are against all attempts to privatize Medicare and Medicaid.
That's right.
We stand against the current proposals in the Senate that have as their purpose and outcome deliberately to decimate Medicaid, to make it an example of cutting out health insurance, to cut out social benefits, to cut out public health benefits. We are against throwing millions of elderly and disabled, the children, the mothers, low-income people off of health insurance that they need. We stand against other changes that drive up individuals' health care costs, drive up premiums, co-pays and deductibles, turn existing insurance even more into junk insurance. We are opposed to that.
Right.
So we need to oppose any reductions, and we also need to march forward with a positive alternative, which of course is single payer. ACA is the law of the land, and we move forward to single payer, not backwards.
Thank you, Dr. Auerbach.
Healthcare is a human right. Healthcare is a human right.
My name is Anne Danforth. I'm here representing Raising Women's Voices for the Healthcare We Need.
Yay!
Raising Women's Voices is a national initiative advocating for the healthcare needs of women, LGBTQ people, and our families. The Senate Trump Care Bill would strip coverage away from 22 million people. It would be bad for women of all ages, jeopardizing our health at every point across the lifespan. Trump Care would eliminate the Medicaid expansion and make drastic cuts to traditional Medicaid. It would also severely threaten New York's low-cost essential plan, which provides coverage to 690,000 New Yorkers. All of this is to fund tax cuts for the wealthy. Medicaid provides critical family planning services for women and covers 51% of all births in New York. Medicaid cuts would also impact older women in New York who rely on Medicaid coverage for long-term services and supports. In addition, Trump Care would bar women with Medicaid or other types of public insurance from using their coverage to get care at Planned Parenthood. This would end or reduce our access to high-quality preventive and reproductive health care, particularly for low-income women and women of color. Planned Parenthood is also an important provider of LGBTQ health care. Trump Care would ban the use of federal financial aid to buy private health plans that cover abortion. As a result, in most states, plans would drop abortion coverage. In states like New York, which requires abortion coverage, no one could use federal premium tax credits to buy private coverage. Trump Care would allow states to let insurers drop coverage for essential health benefits like maternity care and mental health care. Luckily, we know that the Affordable Care Act has been a once-in-a-generation life changer for women's health care, and we cannot and will not go back. Raising Women's Voices will continue to fight to protect what women and our families have gained. This is a critical time for women's health care, and we must continue to speak out and raise our voices for the health care we need.
We won't go back! We won't go back! We won't go back! We won't go back!
Next up, I want to call Andrew Comey from Housing Works to speak.
Carrying a sign here that says Trump Care equals death. For many of you who were around in the day, there was also a sign that said silence equals death. And we're not going back to those dark days where people with HIV and AIDS die because they don't have the services that they need. When I started at Housing Works in 1991, there were no medications for people with AIDS and HIV. There was nothing. My friends, my neighbors, my clients, my colleagues died day after day after day. And we will not go back to a situation where people with quote-unquote a pre-existing condition will not get the health care they need. Because we have meds now, and people are living, and people are thriving. And Donald Trump is not going to send us back to those bad, dark, old days. Housing Works' founder and CEO Charles King is not here with us today because he is one of 40-something people who are arrested down in Washington, D.C. And Charles has made a commitment that until this mess is over with, he's going to get arrested every single opportunity he can to continue to tell Donald Trump that health care is a human right. Health care is a right! Health care is a human right!
Health care
is a right! Health care is a human right!
The people united will never be defeated. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. Brothers and sisters, I would like to introduce now Samantha Inhofe. She is an 1199 home care worker who will tell us how vital is ACA for her and her children. Her life depends on it.
I've been working in home care since 2013, and I'm an 1199 member. This fight today is a fight that's larger than us. This fight today affects me personally. It affects my job. It affects my health. Without the Affordable Care Act, I am going to die. I am one of the millions who has diabetes. My children are asthmatic. We were fortunate to have our pediatrician and our doctors. We kept them through the Affordable Care Act. Right now, all that is at risk. My children, I will not be able to afford medication. I have the best health care possible. I pay a premium that I can afford. I have a service that I consider top class. That today we have to understand that we are being bullied into something that is not benefiting us. How long can we sit on our hands? How long do we continue to hold the tapes over our mouths? How long can we continue to tolerate this? How long, I ask you? How long? My job is at risk because in this New York State, we depend on government money. Imagine not taking care of the elderly. Imagine you going to work, taking care of someone, and you cannot afford the health care coverage. I know what diabetes can do. I see what it does every day. And I am here fighting because I cannot afford to lose my health care.
So health care in America as we know it is on life support in Congress right now. We're going to personify that with a march in solidarity with folks that are linking arms and hands around the Capitol building and our surrounding federal buildings in cities and counties all across our country when Congress reconvenes after the July 4th recess period. Then we'll be going back into action to make sure that nothing comes out of the Senate and nothing goes back in.
We'll be back and we'll be stronger.
We are here with Dr. Ali Fine and a whole group of physicians for a national health program. We're going to find out what their message is about Trump care. Dr. Fine, and then we're going to talk to another one of the physicians here.
I'm the chapter chair of Physicians for a National Health Program. And we actually think we have the alternative to Trump Care, namely a Medicare improved Medicare for all. Everyone should have access to health care. Health care in this country should be a human right, the way it is in many other countries around the world. And you can talk with some of our doctors here who have day-to-day experiences with patients who are going to be very vulnerable to the Trump Care proposals.
Well, is that true? Is your patient base vulnerable? And if so, how and who are those people?
Sure. My name is Dr. Zoe Phil. I work in the Bronx. The short answer is yes, our patients would be vulnerable to these changes. And I want to say that I can tell a lot of stories of patients who would be harmed by this change, but also that we can't forget to underscore the important message that everybody who doesn't have care under the current ACA needs to have care with a Medicare for All plan.
Tell us the story of one patient.
Mr. M, he is a 46-year-old man that I take care of who has had HIV, living with HIV for a long time, has had a lot of trouble controlling the viral load, and over the course of the last 3 years, we've been able to help him get stable housing and get him on a pretty complicated medication regimen that he's on now because of his history of take medicines and then not, so his virus is quite mutated. So now he's on a really good plan. He's got good stable housing, and he's one of the patients that I think about who would very likely die if Medicaid in particular were taken away and some of the other supportive programs the Republicans are threatening to cut.
And standing next to you is a sister whose emblem says Montefiore, the University Hospital for Albert Einstein College of Medicine. So, and you also have a wonderful button, which is Doctors for the 99%. What about your concerns and what you think happens if we don't actually wind up eventually with a Medicare for All, or what some people call a single-payer system?
My biggest concern is that people are just not going to be able to access health care. And I think both sides of the aisle realize that. They just have different approaches to why that's important. I don't think that healthcare is privilege. I think healthcare is a human right. And the fact that prices for medications and for doctor's visits and what insurance will and will not cover and which doctor's insurance will and will not cover leave people in this unpredictable mess of a system that ultimately disincentivizes people from accessing healthcare and ultimately leads to serious illness and death. And as Dr. Fine mentioned, that we have a better option, and we've known for decades that this will work, that if we have a single-payer healthcare system where everybody can access healthcare, it would be better for the health of the entire country.
All of Western Europe, virtually most of the world, is in fact on something analogous to a single-payer system. And so, what's wrong with the United States?
I think that our entire government is built on a system of racism and oppression, and that seeps into all of the policies that are made for our country, including healthcare. Multiple people have done multiple analyses showing that this is a system that could work. They've done multiple comparisons with other countries that have a single-payer health system, and they know that this is something that could work.
And you are Dr. Who?
I'm Ritha Sira.
It's a pleasure. So, Dr. Fine, so how are we to understand the backwardness, the lack of information, or the recalcitrance of the institutionalization of a single-payer system in this country?
One can understand there are some very powerful forces that do not want to see us move in that direction because they financially benefit from it. That is, for instance, the multiple for-profit private health insurance companies in the United States, which increase the cost of care because they have to build a whole administrative structure to compete with each other, but which really, frankly, are not benefiting the delivery of health care. And then you have...
Would you say capitalism is making us sick?
Well, you could say that, yes. I mean, then you get to the pharmaceutical industry, and there again you have large corporate power that does not want to have an entity that can negotiate prices and lower them with it. So that's another formidable force, and they actually, you know, have ways of influencing Congress. Clearly what we need is the grassroots to be involved and understand that this is what they really value and want.
Thank you. And I'm attracted by a Bronx sign. She's coming over. Well, it's your fault. You have a doctor suit, and so we are trying to understand why we don't have a more prominent movement for single payer.
I think it's the only way to go. I think health care is right. I take care of a lot of patients. I work with those two young ladies who told you stories earlier.
So are you at Montefiore?
Yes, I'm at mm-hmm. Family Health Center. It's a federally qualified health center. We take care of a lot of underserved people who work really hard and either don't have insurance or some of them have insurance under Obamacare, the expanded Medicaid. We take care of a lot of uninsured people, too, people who are undocumented, don't have health care, and we provide health care to them. People think the poor are lazy, and my experience is that they work really hard. I talk to patients all day long who work two or three jobs trying to make ends meet, and they don't have, you know, they don't have money to pay for insurance. People say, oh, they can get a job and get insurance, but a lot of jobs don't give you insurance. So if we had single payer, everyone would be covered. We would save money. It would cost much less to provide care because you'd save money on administrative costs, and they'd be able to bargain with the pharmaceutical companies to get reasonable rates for the pharmaceuticals like they do in most of the other developed countries in the world. And if you talk to anybody from Canada or England or most of the countries in Europe, they all have single-payer plans. Everyone's covered. It costs much less. People get very good care. People think we have such better care in the United States. It's not true. Our maternal mortality rate is high. Our infant mortality rate is high. Our lifespan is not as long as in other countries where they have single payer. So I'm a believer, and I think that's what we need. But so many people are so opposed to it. I don't understand why.
Well,
it's not even a partisan issue. It should be a nonpartisan issue. It's good for small business. It's good for everyone, really.
Well, let's just take the Democratic Party. Why isn't Chuck Schumer, how do you understand this, screaming bloody murder for the Conyers bill, which is a single-payer Medicare for all system? That's on the federal level. There is a state bill that is supported in New York. How do you understand the Democrats? Honestly, how do you get on board? How do you understand the Democratic Party writ large?
The Democrats are trying to split the middle or something. I don't agree with them on it. I think we need to get more people aware of what single payer is and start to break up the myths about it. People think that it would involve people waiting in line or people wouldn't get as good care. I don't know why the Democrats are doing that. I mean, I think they're trying to like compromise with the Republicans or something and come up with something halfway down the middle, but I don't think you can do that. I think that you really need to go all the way with it for it to work right.
Well, Dr. Sue, thank you, and thank you for being out here today.
Fighting the Republicans' attack on health care, Senator Bernie Sanders is barnstorming around the country, holding rallies not just to protect the health care we have.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.